and welcome to this edition of the ASI videocast. And today we're joined by Professor Karen Nelson Field, all the way from Adelaide in Australia. Hi there, Karen.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, Karen, what we wanted to talk about today was your special edition, the special edition of Walk that you edited alongside, I guess, their contribution to the Cannes Lions live event, if that's the right term to use in these strange times. And the Walk edition, for those viewing this who aren't familiar with it, was a special edition given over to sort of planning for attention, wasn't it? It was all around the whole topic of attention. Yeah.
Correct.
Maybe you could sort of start by just sort of setting the scene as to what the key points were, the key themes that emerged from that, and then we'll go into a couple of them in a bit more detail.
Sure. What I will say is that I went into, you know, when I was asked to guest edit, I actually went in trying to build the themes, knowing, you know, as an industry, we're on the precipice of change and what are the things we have to address. So there were four kind of key factors, I guess, that I wanted to find suitable contributors for. The first one being the value of attention in terms of, you know, an incremental value than other legacy measures. I mean, if we're going to sort of ask advertisers to change or at least augment current measurement, what is the core value? So that was really important so that they know that that attention gives them something different. The second part was, you know, how do we turn this into an actual measure? Rather, not so much technology. We tried to stay away from that because attention can be measured different ways. But moreover, you know, how can it be implemented? The application's super vital. So we asked some brands and some agencies to contribute to how they're actually using attention. How they plan to use attention, you know, what is the true application? Because it's all great in theory, but if it's not applied, then what is the value? And then the fourth one, which is dear to my heart around the concept of ethics. So, you know, if we're pushing for an attention economy, how can we make sure that we are not creating a world of low cost, addictive, train wreck content? So really that was about what does attention measurement look like or need to look like for the betterment of our ecosystem. So they're the four key things.
Okay, well that's very helpful because I know your own, the first part of this, the sort of setting the scene, if you like, the value of attention featured a piece by yourself. And you were highlighting, I think, in your piece, the sort of positive relationship between incremental sales and attention. Can you explain a little bit more about that, why it's important for us all to have this sort of broader vision so that we look a little bit beyond just looking at audience measurement to a more direct association with sales? And what did you find in that work?
Yeah, so it's a slightly complicated story, but so as a scholar of attention, not just a seller of attention, it's important to me that we understand, you know, the layers of attention and how it works in terms of memory so that, again, the question I often get asked is, why is this different? So the point of my paper, I guess, was to demonstrate to the audience, because the automatic default is recall. So people often sell recall as a proxy. So my point of the paper was to sort of say it does measure something different to recall. You know, often people will come out with recall measures as this proxy, and there are other measures such as, you know, dwell that are not real proxies either. But what I will say is that recall, and we know this, measures relevance, and we can see that in our own data. It's highly related to previous brand choice. So what it essentially does is it measures what they call explicit memory, but visual attention actually captures implicit memory too. So it's a bit like priming. So you can't recall it, but you've seen it and you do something as an outcome. So if you see any of those, you know, priming videos on YouTube, you'll see people do things without realizing that why they do it, but it's on autopilot. So we can see that recall is actually not related to STAS, but attention is. We use STAS, it's short-term advertising strength, and we're not the owners of that concept. It's been in literature forever. But STAS essentially is brand uplift, but it applies a market share baseline. So, you know, my background is Ehrenberg Bass, so obviously, you know, brand size plays a role in many different ways in terms of purchase behavior in the future as well. And what we can see is when we apply a market share baseline, it removes previous brand choice and only reports incremental sales over and above what ordinarily would have been bought or what is typical. So what that sort of says is two things, that visual attention captures impact that memory-based recall can't, and also that visual attention is directly linked to incremental sales uplift. So it's this extra few points of sales is capturing. So we think that's pretty valuable, and we think, you know, it puts a line in the sand against proxy measures where people think that they can use something that doesn't collect everything. And it proves that it actually can help a brand understand if that campaign will likely drive incremental sales.
Yeah, I mean, it struck me as being really, really valuable work, this, because, you know, we do tend to get a bit stuck, don't we, from time to time, thinking that all we're really about is measuring audience, you know, in terms of impressions or in terms, as you say, in terms of recall or whatever. Actually, of course, a relationship to sales is really what we're trying to do. So the fact that if attention becomes a really good proxy for that, then that's a very important finding.
Actually, Brian, that's a really good point, because it does, but what you need to understand is it's not a perfect relationship. We see that attention is more related to incremental sales than recall is. But at the end of the day, advertising is not persuasive. So we often say that attention and STAS, or attention and choice, it's like cousins, not siblings. So the relationship is slightly once removed. So just because someone sees it doesn't mean they'll make a choice either. But the point is, it's probably a better, well, it is a better proxy than some of the other self-reported measures, because implicitly half the time we notice, but we don't notice that we notice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. It moves you closer to it, doesn't it? Obviously, it's not a direct relationship,
yeah, but
it moves
you along. Absolutely.
I mean, the next thing that struck me on this walk paper, which I thought, the walk edition rather, which was particularly interesting, was the paper from Andrew Green and the Ipsos guys, which was the whole notion of attention, however you define it. And obviously, as you said, there are lots of different ways of, or there are different ways of defining it and measuring it. Needs to be applied really across all media forms. Now, you've got a very interesting paper indeed from Spotify, which makes the point in relation to audio. But do you have a kind of an idea, just a sort of a framework in your brain, that how this could sort of move when it comes to, I don't know, print or out of home or other media forms? I mean, at the moment, we're obviously focusing a lot on video, and that's correct, and now audio. But do you see this sort of expanding into other media forms, which is the Ipsos point that you really need if you're going to do true sort of cross-media measurement, to have a some sort of relationship to how people use print or out of home or other media forms?
So the short answer is, I won't pretend that we have a technology solution for all types of media. What they also say in their paper, just reading through it, they talk about that we should prioritize the importance. And I'm not suggesting that print's not, but the bulk of the dollars spent from an advertiser probably goes to video. And that's why we focus on measuring attention on TV and social and, you know, online platforms and mobile. But funnily enough, I do actually have some ideas around how to model out STAS as a true north. So for platforms, for example, that don't have visual attention collection, how might we understand the auditory sound levels relative to STAS and things like that? So you know, I don't know. I mean, I think one of your questions was, do I have a roadmap? I'm not sure that I have a roadmap, more of a rough sketch of what I would do. And at the moment, I'm just trying to get the visual video piece right first, which we're close to. And then I think there's probably a way we can model out against the platforms where there's no technological solution at the moment. But I will say, I do happen to know many print print owners who are actually moving towards that. Again, I caution for those who think that recall is a suitable proxy. It's not, but I do know of some fairly innovative print owners that are sort of mixing it up a bit. That's all I'll say. So yeah. I think we'll get there, but I think Andrew Green's correct. It's a long way to go, but if we wait until it's perfect, we'll never make a change.
Yeah, it's well put. I mean, I'm sort of rather fond of saying, you know, what we're trying to do here is, you know, it's almost answer the question, well, how do you eat an elephant? You know, and the answer is you eat an elephant one small bite at a time. But it's always quite a good idea to remember that, you know, at the end of the day, there's still a bloody great big elephant. You know, it's still an elephant.
Totally. You know, so, it's like saying, well, I'll wait to have a baby before you're ready to have a baby. None of us would ever have children.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that you mentioned at the start the ethics section of the walk, of the walk edition, which I found particularly fascinating, because it seemed to move us. So the argument is, of course, that we're moving away from sort of cheapest chips, impressions, you know, cost at all cost type way of using media or planning and buying media towards a much, much greater understanding of quality. And I like very much the phrase, I don't know if it was you, but it probably was you, came up with that we're moving from an opportunity to see towards a real human view. Which is a very good way of looking at it. I mean, why would you like to say a little bit more about the sort of why this is so important ethically?
This is not just putting it out there. We are GDPR compliant, but this particular piece is not about collection. This is about how we get this next phase right, the application phase right, so that we don't bugger up the CPMs and degrade content even more. So Joe Marchese is, you know, a bit of a an advocate for change, but also a huge advocate for bringing ethics or a fair fight into this attention economy, he calls it. He starts the discussion around a fair fight. And he often says, he talks about the fact that clickbait is essentially on a race to the bottom. So he sort of says, you know, most people think that if we're in an attention economy, we have to build really crap content to get people's attention. But what that does is it pushes CPMs down, which degrades not only the content, but also the whole ecosystem as a whole. So he's done lots of work in this space, and I asked him to contribute, and I'm really grateful he has. So he sort of says that the incentive structure must change. So rather than, you know, driving ad dollars to the lowest quality content, to essentially, you know, reward those that do the opposite and bring quality content to the table. But there are other contributors in that section which you should read. So Jerry Dakin, currently from GSK, but he talks about his experience in Diageo, and, you know, we should all sort of make sure that we adopt, you know, ethical practices in terms of how we buy, particularly programmatically. And then there's a lawyer, actually a practicing lawyer, not a practicing marketer, in this edition, who talks about the failing ecosystem is obviously as a result of the absence of industry recognized measurement operations. But he says that one of the key things is to put the measurement back in the eyes of the beholder. And that's exactly what attention does. So if we value human attention, then we are valuing what we are providing these viewers, so the quality content will increase. So it's actually, those three papers are fantastic to read if you get none of the others. I mean, the others are amazing as well. Here is that if we do this wrong now, we'll never have the opportunity. It will just be a slippery slope that our industry goes on. So
it's also about supporting and valuing and quantifying the value of journalism, isn't it? And the role.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I know many journalists, but if you talk to them, they get so sort of depressed that, you know, increasingly they're just being asked to come up with, you know, top 10 of this or top 5 of that and just producing clickbait, which is kind of weird because most of the marketing industry has sort of moved on a bit from clickbait, but still publishers seem to.
But it's a vicious cycle. So, you know, what happens then if you get degraded content is people actually tune out, which means you work harder for this attention, which means the ecosystem is more clickbait, which means that brands are devalued, like at Fox, where you know, they actually, their attention models were, you know, you can pay more money for quality attention. And there are a lot of brands that are doing that now. I mean, Spotify are a classic example of that. So, yeah, so I think we're definitely moving towards change, but I think the change is coming with well thought out ethical path.
Mm. I mean, it's also interesting. I mean, just maybe to finish on this, that, there are obviously a number of activities going on at the moment, initiatives going on at the moment around the whole area of audience measurement. So we've got the WFA/ISBAR/ANA cross-media measurement initiatives. And of course, this is excellent because this is at least getting people to move away from just thinking about, you know, I don't know, TV in a silo or print in a silo or online in a silo and trying to understand how these things work in combination and work together. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's an opportunity at some point for there to be a, you know, I'm not asking you to say what it would be, but some sort of a definition of attention or some kind of global approach that is fed into this cross-media measurement initiative so that you're not just looking at audiences cross-media, but you're also looking at how the different media perform in terms of generating attention?
Yeah, I mean, my actual understanding is that they are planning on that. So I think, without a doubt, that should be incorporated. But last I knew, that was on the agenda. But in terms of definition, the definition should come from how a human reacts, not from is one technology the perfect true norm. And that becomes sort of the accepted. Then we can move forward and say, right, how do we build technology for different platforms, etc. But to be honest, and you may have heard of this group, that's why myself and Lumen and Adelaide's Lyft, which is in New York, and Avocet, which is a programmatic company in also New York and London, and T-Vision formed the Attention Council. So the plan with that is, we started that back in November and launched it in the LinkedIn offices in New York. And the goal is to sort of help the industry understand the nuances of these definitions and how they might move forward. But to be honest, I'm looking at the member list now and it's a bit out of control. So, you know, we've got serious players, including Dentsu, Microsoft, Mars, Diageo, Tesco, Electrolux, Horizon, Havas, and even Lesbonet. Your Lesbonet. So, and there's more on the next month's announcement. So it's, so there is a growing interest in this area. So I think once we have kind of rallied enough support from advertisers and started to work out, okay, how can we as a collective help the likes of WFA sort of apply that to their big research pieces? I think that's what our job's done, Tick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I would really encourage anybody watching this, listening to this, to check out the Attention Council. I've been along to a meeting or two, and you know, they're really fascinating. And I think what it does is to just raise the whole topic so that it stops being kind of rather weird, sort of esoteric kind of theoretical thing into being a real living, breathing piece of work.
The attention economy is here. It's in its early stages. It's in its infancy, but it's definitely becoming widely accepted. So that's pretty exciting for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Karen, it's been great to talk to you. And I think that there'll be more. Well, I hope that there'll be a lot more from you and from indeed other people involved on the Attention Council at forthcoming ASI events to be announced. But in the meantime, thanks very much indeed for joining us on this ASI videocast. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Here's now.